You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Jackson Klein.
Come soon enough, they're gone.
This month, we're digging deep into the Ensemblist archives to share highlights from some of our favorite interviews from our early days. Today, we're revisiting our 2014 interview with Broadway veteran Mary Beth Peel. Among her many Broadway credits are revivals of Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George and Follies. Mary Beth spoke with us about the highlights of working on Sondheim's musicals, both on Broadway and regionally, the rewards of working with Sondheim, and what makes his musicals so special. Here's our conversation.
Rangers sent packing, what do they expect?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I am Mary Beth Peel, and I live on the Upper West Side, just right south of Columbia University. The Sondheim shows I performed on Broadway were Sunday in the Park with George and Follies. I have also regionally done, Sweeney Todd, Assassins, Little Night Music. I think that might be it.
When did you first fall in love with Sondheim musicals?
Oh, when I first fell in love with Sondheim musicals is an easy one because I was still trying to remove myself from the opera world, and a friend of mine was in the ensemble of the original Sweeney Todd. And she had actually started out as an opera singer, and I knew she was in it, and people kept saying, you know, you really should see this great Broadway show because it's really an opera. I mean, it's fantastic, the singing. And I thought, oh, okay, musicals, I'm not so crazy about musicals, but that's all right, I'll go. And it knocked my socks off. I can still hear that first whistle from the factory, and yeah, that was pretty mind-changing. It didn't change my life yet, but it did change my mind.
New York has neon, Berlin has bars, but
I was raised, as far as musicals were concerned, it was Rodgers and Hammerstein, it was Carousel, King and I, South Pacific, and they're beautiful classics, but they were not what I thought of necessarily as groundbreaking, because that ground had already been broken. And then within a few years, after I finally had extricated myself from the opera world and started doing musicals, I did Little Night Music. So I sort of started in the early Sondheim, you know, as in his canon, and worked my way through. There's so many things that are fulfilling about doing a Sondheim piece. It's hard to know where to start, but I guess start with the most obvious is if you are an actor who sings or a singer who acts, to work on a Sondheim piece that so thoroughly invests itself in both. I mean, I know he says he writes for actors and not for singers, but I defy anyone who is not a musician and or a singer to do a Sondheim musical. It's not possible. The fact that he has written for actors makes it all the more delicious because the characters are so well-rounded and interesting and full of conflicts and no good guys and bad guys. They're all different things going on at once. It's heaven. The moment that was the most hair-raising, bone-chilling, never-to-be-forgotten moment, and I dare say I'm not the only one that has experienced this, was in the first rehearsal of Sunday in the Park with George, when everyone stood around the piano to sing Sunday. Oh, my God. I mean, I get chills and kind of beschmerzed just thinking about it. And it never changed. It was always that way. Through rehearsal to the last performance, just goosebumps and hair raising to sing it and to hear it at the same time you're singing it. And it does the same thing to the audience, which is really unusual, that both the audience and the performer is experiencing that at exactly the same moment in time, over and over and over and over again.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I have seen. So, I have this theory.
Try it.
Which is, his shows have a lot of principles in them, right? Follies, all of those, right? Into the Woods, all of those characters, assassins, right? Little Night Music, even. They're all, every Sunday, right? They're all principles. But the other side of that is that then everyone's part of the ensemble.
Of the whole.
So, how does Sondheim write with ensembles in mind?
I don't think he does write with ensembles in mind. I think he writes characters. He writes for a character, for a situation, and he writes whatever he feels that character needs by way of song, by way of one line, so that he's writing for the whole. He's writing to tell the whole story, but the whole story is not made of principal players and a chorus. It's made up of, if there is a chorus, it's made up of individuals. I mean, I know that when they do Sweeney Todd, for instance, I've done it both ways. I've done it with a small group and I've done it with a huge symphony orchestra and a symphony chorus. And Assassins, also, we did it that way. It's at San Jose Light Opera. It was done like an opera. So there was an actual chorus, but each one of those chorus members, because the music is so demanding and so difficult as far as concentration and counting, and if you miss one quarter rest or one syncopated 16th note, you're out. You'll never catch that train. So that everyone is invested. And if you're in the chorus, I think you have a costume that makes you feel like you can create a character. But what's different than singing a lot of musicals, no one is going to phone it in. No one's just going to stand there and sound pretty. You have to concentrate and be a part of it. And the music tells the story and gives you the hint to the character, whether you're a second soprano from the left in the chorus in a big version of a Sondheim show, or in the reduced versions, you know, of which there are many too. I've never done a Sondheim show where Stephen wasn't in the rehearsal process at some point. Usually not early on. Usually he might be in the audition. And in fact, you kind of hope that he's in the audition, because then you know if you got the part that he wanted you. He showed up maybe before we left the rehearsal room, went into the theater, or maybe halfway through the rehearsal process, just to see how it's going. Very generous with notes. When we were doing Follies, he came a couple of times, and we had one work session. I think we were still in previews. We were definitely in performance, where there were probably 8 or 10 of us called for a special note session in the theater. And, I mean, everyone, people who've been doing the part for a long time and, you know, getting... thought they had it and did have it, do have it, but he had suggestions, just a little more of this, and instead of giving them as a note, he sat in the theater and said, okay, go do your thing. And people got up and we all watched. It was like being in a master class. We watched everybody get up and sing their thing.
It was a back and forth. It wasn't just, this is how it's done.
No, it wasn't. In some cases it was. I don't like that. Don't do it that way. But mostly it was, I'm curious to see what would happen if you did. And a lot of it, some of it was musical, vocal, but most of it had to do with what the character is thinking and doing in that moment.
Goodbye, Rangoon.
As an artist, do you feel like performing his work, he gets you?
I think it's so interesting because, I mean, the only musical that one could say, well, that's about an artist, George in Sunday in the Park. But I feel like he writes both about and for artists with this almost brutal sense of honesty. He takes no prisoners. Nobody gets off. You know, there's no really great guy that has no faults. And there's not a really bad guy who hasn't some heroic or really admirable qualities. I mean, he made, like, leads, people we were rooting for out of Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett. There are no redeeming people in that musical. None. They're all disgusting. If you look at it on paper, and you could say the same thing about Follies. They're all selfish, self-involved, flawed people, just like all of us, just like the audience. But he it's his honesty. You always know he has your back. The character has your back. you can go all the way with it because there's something so humane about it.
Peking has rickshaws, New Orleans jazz, but
I actually, in all honesty, have never thought of myself as being in the ensemble. So, you know, when you say the ensemble for a Sondheim show, it's absolutely true. We are all part of an ensemble. And I love that. In other shows, you always know that you're the lead. I mean, when you're doing Mrs. Anna and the King and I, there's no time to think of anything other than all the songs that you're going to sing and all the scenes that you're going to do. You're playing with your other people on the stage, but in a Sondheim show, everything is woven in such a way that nothing can happen without the other person who you're singing to or acting with giving you immediately what you need so you can go on. It's all woven so tightly together. There's no wasted word. There's no added something just so someone can get across the stage. You have to figure it out. It's about concentration. You cannot not be in the moment every single second. As I'm talking about it sounds, oh, that must be exhausting, but it's just the opposite, because he has your back. You just ride on it. You ride on it, and it keeps feeding you. The more you give it, the more it gives back to you. It's a miracle.
That's great.
Special thanks to Mary Beth Peel for sharing her stories with us today. The Ensemblist was produced by Mo Brady and me, Jackson Klein. There are two great ways you can help the Ensemblist right now. One is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. The other is by becoming a Patreon member, which you can do at patreon.com/theensemblist. Please follow us wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or at bpn.fm, the home of Broadway Podcast Network. You can also follow us on Instagram, where we share all of our latest episodes. Stay safe, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.